Welcome back to the program. My name is Jonathan Richler. This is VOCM Nightline. We're going to line number one. We are speaking with Dr. Cascade Corte, who is Assistant Professor of the Department of Ecology and Evolutionary Biology at the U of Cali. Is that correct? University of California?
University of California. There you go.
Thank you very much for joining us tonight. Sorti, is that the correct pronunciation of your last name?
That's right. Thank you, Jonathan, for having me.
My tremendous pleasure. I'm all about science and enjoy stories containing animals, because not only are most of them edible, or at least legal to eat, in other words, you know, it's groovy to put them on your plate, but they are important, the other ones, in terms of cuddling and, I think, contributing to the human condition. So, you know, we love dogs, but we love to eat mussels. It's kind of strange when we think of everything below the human species is either serving us in one form or another. And as we get bigger and bigger, that would be the human beings as opposed to the animals, we are seeing that a large amount of biomass is depleting, either as a result of the increase of others, such as we're experiencing right now, the Atlantic codfish having somewhat of a comeback, and therefore there's a depletion of shellfish and mollusks across our shores. But this is happening in similar veins all across our globe. And today, Dr. Sorte, we're going to discuss the fact that New England appears to be running out of mussels. What is this all about, and how should this impact our plates?
Well, good question, Jonathan. It's interesting that you brought up the charisma of different types of animals. Mussels aren't something that we typically think of as being our favorite cuddly pets, but they do, as you say, perform really important services in the ecosystem. Mussels are a food that we like to eat. In fact, I was just sitting next to a colleague the other day and helping identify the mussel on her plate for her. And at the same time, they're a species that's really important in our coastal habitats because they make a relatively inhospitable, wavy environment hospitable for many other things that live there. So what we've been doing is we've been following up on some observations made by members of the public that suggested that the mussel populations were declining in the Gulf of Maine. And most of this work was done in the United States between Cape Cod and northern Maine. And, you know, we did this by going out and really doing things that most people could do. You take a quadrat out there and you put this square down on the rock, and then you count how many mussels are in your quadrat. And fortunately, we had some really good historical data, and then we could compare the counts that we got over the last few years to what people had counted about 40 years ago. And it was that comparison that really, really gave a compelling conclusion that the mussels are declining in our region.
One of the factors, I believe, which has been indicated as a critical, I think, attack on the population of mussels across the Gulf of Maine, and you know, possibly reaching up to where we're to in the years to come, is invasive species. Now, something we've heard about here in certain parts of Canada is the zebra mussel. When we are looking at invasive species and how they affect a particular population, here we have the green crab, which is just knocking the socks out of the cod biomass or pelagics as well. It's a species that takes over the home turf, if you will, of those that have enjoyed, say, the seagrass for centuries. How is it that these invasive species come here in the first place?
Well, that's a good question. Green crabs here on the East Coast have been here for a while, but they were starting to notice them being a problem more and more. Interestingly, actually, in our area, we see them mostly in the sort of bays and harbors where the water flow is relatively slow. We don't see them so much on the outer coast where we were doing our work. So it's certainly possible that the green crab had some effect on the populations that we were studying, but it's maybe not as direct effect as things like possibly climate change. We're also interested in what effect dredging and human harvesting could have had on the populations. But I think in the end, I didn't really answer your question, which was how did these species get here in the first place? Mm-hmm. They come over usually on our transport mechanisms. So they come in the ballast water, in the hulls of ships. They come attached to the hulls of ships. They, if they're not a marine species, they can come in our luggage. You know, I mean, where we go, the invasive species go with us.
Well, that's a very good point, and I have heard, of course, of the, you know, the mussels themselves or other, shall we say, jerkish barnacles just dropping off when in harbor towns such as ours here in St. John's, and they tend to propagate because they're like, wow, look at all this lovely real estate, and we have a leather jacket, whereas nobody else does, and they sort of take over the turf. But dredging and climate change are two others that you mentioned. What is dredging?
So dredging is a way of collecting mussels. It's just the process of putting a big net on the bottom of the ocean and dragging it along the bottom to pull up mussels from the ocean bottom. Mm-hmm. And the mussels that we were studying were in intertidal habitats, which is the tide line between the lowest low tide and the high tide, whereas these mussel populations that are being collected by dredging are being collected from the subtidal, below the waterline. And those are populations that we really don't know very much about at all still. So even though the study that I've done has revealed some changes in the intertidal populations, there are still a lot of questions about what's happening with the subtidal population. So we know that dredging has impacted them in the past, but we don't know what might be left there.
So why should we care? Despite the, you know, well, let's look beyond the industry itself, which is you know, tens of millions of dollars. I think the mussel industry, the wild blue mussels are doing very well here. I think Newfoundland and Labrador's blue mussels are actually the only species to be certified organic, and we found them. We've had reports of them being sold in China in the packages that are shipped just right here in this province of Newfoundland and Labrador. So we should care in the sense that we're getting our proteins out there, much like we enjoy shrimp, which is produced in Indonesia, for example, right over here. This is part of the global village or the global network of food trade. But with respect to mussels themselves, what are the benefits of this particular animal to the human species?
Well, you know, there are a lot of benefits. One is that we eat them, and one thing that I was really surprised to learn when I started studying the blue mussels in the Gulf of Maine was that the blue mussels that are cultured in the Gulf of Maine, and I'm guessing where you are as well, all rely on the wild populations for their stats. So they don't actually raise multiple generations in the mussel farms. They go out and collect the baby mussels from wild populations, and they bring them into their mussel farms and grow them up.
Ah.
That was really surprising to me that, you know, that we're so dependent on the natural and extremely dynamic system. So we care about them because we eat them. We care about them because other organisms that we care about also eat them, things like birds, fish, crabs, other things that live subtidally. And then we just care about them because they actually support a whole community of other organisms. And if we lose the mussels, we're losing the habitat that they create, which means that all that other diversity that they're supporting may be gone as well. And, you know, I guess the last answer is, do we care about mussels? Well, mussels are an iconic species in the Northeast, and people that visit the shoreline there expect to see the species that have always been there. You know, it's part of our identity. Where we're from, we expect that the natural system will remain relatively constant. And more recently, we're finding that the natural system is not as constant as we hoped. You know, species that we've always depended on always being there when we go out to the tide pools may not always be there in the future.
Such as the cod moratorium, which currently exists in New England.
Yeah, I mean, we expect that if there are species that we've always fished or that we've always seen, that they will always be there, and that doesn't seem to be the case.
Do you think we need to worry here in the province of Newfoundland and Labrador with respect to the decline of mussel populations in New England?
I definitely think that people further north need to worry. I think people need to worry everywhere throughout the Atlantic because, and not just because of the work that I've done, but because the work that I've done and the conclusions that we found in this study really parallel the conclusions in other studies, like a study that was done by one of my colleagues on the southeastern coast and found that mussels now cannot even persist along the U.S. coastline south of Delaware, and these are places that they had always been found prior to that, or at least in recorded history. So the fact is that we're seeing declines everywhere that we're looking. And I have not yet seen any evidence of mussel populations increasing. Actually, the only example that I've seen of that was is mussels in Spitsbergen in the far northern subarctic, where there were shorelines that couldn't previously harbor mussels, possibly because of storm disturbance and ice scour, and now mussels are being able to colonize these further north areas. So it's possible that the mussels will find a refuge further north, but I fear that most of the Atlantic coastline is going to see declines, not increases.
Ouch. Well, I appreciate your time tonight, although I suppose over there it's still the afternoon. Dr. Sorci, can I ask, I have to, before we say goodnight or good day to you, what is your favorite way to cook and eat mussels?
That's a good question. I haven't eaten that many mussels myself. I've dissected so many of them that necessarily see them as food. I see them as work. But I've had mussels a couple of different ways. I've had them just, I guess, steamed, and then a friend actually smoked some mussels one time, and so I tried those, and those were pretty good as well.
Okay. Might I recommend cooking them in a little bit of bourbon and cream?
All right. I'll take that suggestion.
Try that. But I love smoked mussels. Those are delicious. Thank you for your time, Dr. Sorci, and hopefully this won't be our last conversation.
Thank you.
Good day
to
you. Bye-bye. That was Dr. Sorci, who is the assistant professor at the Department of Ecology and Evolutionary Biology at the University of California, located in Irvine. And boys, oh boys, if you had your time back, wouldn't it be fantastic to go into the Department of Biology at just about anywhere? Because it's wonderful to look into the web of life, or at least I find it fascinating, and hopefully you do too. So we've got a number of slots available tonight if you are interested in speaking to us about whatever is on your mind. Doug Reed thinks